This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Lawmakers bounded for the exits last night on Capitol Hill, rushing home for the Christmas holiday with their families. And they had a busy week. Wednesday, it was $1.5 trillion in unfinanced tax cuts tilted heavily toward corporations and the wealthy. Then Thursday, before the Christmas rush, a temporary stopgap spending measure designed to keep the government open, no shutdown, with no permanent funding for the then expired Children's Health Insurance Program.
So what we're doing here today is basically saying, wealthy Americans, big fat Christmas present for you. Tiny Tim, we're taking your crutch away from you and all the other kids in this country.
That's California Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier this week. Jackie Speier is frustrated, and she's not the only one on Capitol Hill. Congressional leaders promised they would find permanent five-year funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, otherwise known as CHIP. 9 million kids and pregnant women from low-income families are covered by CHIP. Meanwhile, we've been following this story since the beginning of October when CHIP expired, and now states have resorted to warning beneficiaries that their kids could lose health coverage if Congress doesn't act. Well, some temporary funding is all those states and families can rely on now. And Republicans and Democrats are promising that the program will be renewed if everyone waits just a little longer. Jeffrey Young is senior reporter for HuffPost. He's here in the studio with me. We're also joined by Aaron Miller, vice president of health initiatives for Colorado Children's Campaign. They're a nonprofit, nonpartisan research and advocacy organization. Aaron, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff, thank you for being here, too.
My pleasure.
Jeff, there is broad support for the CHIP program in Congress. Republicans say they support it. Democrats say they love it. But it expired in October. What's going on? Why no permanent program? Why no permanent funding for this program that everybody says they're for?
Yeah, it's crazy because no one actually wants this program to go away. The problem they have not been able to solve is how to finance it, because unlike the tax cuts, they're insisting on paying for this program. CHIP says about $16 billion a year for this program, most of which comes to the federal government, like 90% or so is federal money.
Sorry, let me stop you. Say that again. $1.5 trillion in tax cuts were not paid for. This $16 billion a year must be paid for.
That's the way the Congress is going about it.
Okay.
And that's been the norm when this program has been renewed every 5 years. the dispute here is how to pay for it. In the Senate, they never passed a bill, but the one that came out of the committee that oversees the program didn't have any mechanism of paying for it. Over in the House, they basically dinged the Affordable Care Act and raised Medicare premiums for some really wealthy people and a few other things to pay for it. Democrats object to those pay-fors. You know, one of the sources of money is a program from the Affordable Care Act that provides grants for things like anti-obesity programs in grade schools. And they're sort of taking money out of that to pay for CHIP.
All right. So Congress did pass some temporary funding when they headed for the doors last night. What exactly does CHIP get to rely on for now?
Yeah. Well, remember that $16 billion number I just quoted. Congress passed on Thursday night, the wee hours of Friday morning, I forget exactly when, is just shy of $3 billion. And that's meant to cover 6 months of the program. Now, that includes the past 2 months and then all the way through March. You see the discrepancy there. $16 billion program, $2.85 billion, I believe, enacted before. So this doesn't really it's not clear that this alleviates the pressure on the states. It's certainly better than nothing because there were a few states that were about to shut down the programs completely, kick the kids right off because they didn't have the money. But that could still happen at some point during the next few months.
Well, Aaron, you're there in one of the states. You've been warning in Colorado that the state has been running on fumes, essentially, and that because Congress let CHIP lapse, up to 90,000 kids and pregnant women in Colorado could start losing benefits. What's going on around your way?
Yeah, I think it's just a really tough situation here in Colorado. As you mentioned, our reserves that we had to sort of keep this program going are nearly tapped. And we know that families need some warning. This is a big change in family finances. So we definitely want to give families enough warning to plan as much as they can, to do whatever they can to try to get their kid covered. But it's a really tough situation. And Colorado is one of the minority of states that actually provides coverage not just for kids but also for pregnant women through this program. And so those pregnant women, I mean, there are pregnant women with due dates in February and March, and they're wondering if their health insurance is going to be there for them when they really need it. And that kind of stress, it's not good for pregnant women. It's not good for young kids. This is just a really tough way to sort of run an insurance program here, sort of like month by month. It's hard for the state. It's hard for budgeting. It's hard for our program. And it's hard for these families.
I mean, insurance programs by definition run on predictability, and this is not predictability, Aaron. A couple of months of temporary funding, has that done anything to alleviate the anxiety and the stress from pregnant women, from patients, from families that you're talking about? I doubt they're following the day-to-day, minute-to-minute maneuverings of Congress. They probably just suspect this program isn't funded.
Yeah, I think so. Part of the problem is with, as Jeff was talking about, we don't know the funding that was approved by Congress isn't as much as you would expect to sort of spend over this period. So we don't know how much, if any, of that funding is going to come to Colorado. We don't have a great sense for how long that will allow us to continue our program here. The state has approved an emergency sort of stopgap measure, sort of a Band-Aid. So the state has said that if the federal government falls short and we are short on funding for February, we will continue this program with state funds in the month of February. And that guarantee means that we're going to delay sending out termination letters. So termination letters in the state of Colorado, we were planning to send those out the day after Christmas to start generating those letters. So that would have been a really tough thing for families to start getting next week. And so, you know, we have this sort of emergency stopgap measure here that will allow us to delay those letters until the end of January. But it's getting really tight.
Jeff, does all this sound familiar to you, the anxiety in Colorado and sort of the shell game accounting that people are resorting to?
Yeah, and this is exactly what I heard from parents I spoke to over the last week or so whose kids are on these programs. You know, and part of it, too, is that, okay, if CHIP's going to go away, if you knew that for sure, you can start looking into other options. You know, maybe you get your kids on your insurance policy that maybe you're getting from the health insurance exchanges. States also, and this is time-consuming and really complicated, but if there's no CHIP, in a lot of states, they could move those kids onto Medicaid so they would have something. Same thing with the pregnant women. But you can't plan for any of this when you don't know when your state's going to run out of money, if at all. And Colorado and a few other states may have, you know, a little bit of money lying around that they can use to like keep this thing going a little bit, to patch it. But a lot of states simply don't have that money. They're not talking about state money in Alabama, for example, where they've already told parents, you know, that they're going to shut that before Congress passed this new funding bill. I don't know what they're going to say now, but they already told parents, sorry, but you know, by February, your kids are going to be uninsured.
Aaron, if a letter like that goes out, and it sounds like you were on the cusp of it in Colorado, what does it mean to a family of a sick kid or a pregnant mom to get a letter to say your benefits could be cut off? I mean, that's got to give them a great deal of anxiety.
Yeah, and so to be clear, those letters have already gone out in Colorado that you might be losing your health insurance coverage. So we wanted to give families 60-day notice. So we sent those letters at the end of November, said you might lose your health insurance coverage. You know, be sure you get into the doctor, get your kid into the dentist. You know, giving families time to sort of get those appointments scheduled and start thinking about what might come next. So the letters that we're planning to, you know, go out at the end of this month would have been coverage termination letters. So that would have been the official sort of letter families would have needed to then try to get on their insurance plan at work or to try to get on an insurance plan through the state health exchange. So it was really, you know, it was the sort of ticket for those families to get into other sorts of coverage. It was that proof of a qualifying life event. And so, you know, we're not sending those termination letters now. Those letters will go out now based on what we know so far. Those letters will go out at the end of January. Those letters would have meant that families would have started getting into other coverage if they could.
This is just an enormous amount of will we, won't we, what do we do for an insurance program that people are supposed to be able to rely upon. I mean, that's the whole point. Jeff, let's kick this forward now to the new year. There's government funding now through January 19th, a new threat of a government shutdown when they come back. They're going to have to do some big deals to keep the government open. DACA is going to be a big one. Defense spending, all those big items. CHIP is in the mix now. Does this get thrown in with the big deals that Congress has to do? And are we likely to see a fix by Valentine's Day?
Well, I mean, Congress has said that you know, this has been a priority for them the entire time, since even before the program expired at the end of September. And they're still saying that. But, you know, if I'm a state official or if my kid's on this program, I've heard this before. And incidentally, you mentioned before, like, oh, maybe people aren't following this minute to minute. You know, this is anecdotal, but the parents I spoke to when reporting a story that earlier this week, they are following this news very, very closely because it's extremely important to them. You know, you think about it, like, here's a program that, like, almost no one opposes and they still can't get it through. They did a little patch a few weeks ago. They just did another one. And you look at that stopgap spending bill, all of these crises that were lurching, you know, from one to the next. And to me, the sort of failure to take care of CHIP is a perfect example of how dysfunctional the Congress is. No one actually opposes this.
Aren't governors getting on the phone and screaming down the phone at senators and lawmakers saying, I'm the governor of this state. I have to administer CHIP. Get it done.
I mean, yeah, that is happening. But I think even the power and influence that the nation's governors have is not enough to fix what's wrong with Congress.
Still, as we look forward to January, where there will be some big government shutdown brinksmanship news, I'm predicting that type of news will happen. Is it likely now that CHIP will be in that mix in January? They have funding through March in that authorization. We wait all the way until early spring or maybe after New Year's?
Honestly, under more normal circumstances, I would say, of course they're going to fix this. It's health care for children, except that they haven't done it so far, which to me is reason enough to wonder whether it's going to be February 27th, and we're going to be having this conversation all over again. Not to mention, again, it's really not clear to me that the money that Congress just passed is enough to get all the way through March.
So we're going to see if the crisis management that comes up in January, and by the way, it is coming, there will be shutdown news in mid-January, whether it includes health care for 9 million children and pregnant women in the CHIP program. Jeff Young, senior reporter for HuffPost, I'm sorry.
That's
rebranded.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for being here. Aaron Miller, thanks to you too, Vice President of Health Initiatives for Colorado Children's Campaign. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
And many, many of you around the country have had direct experience with the Children's Health Insurance Program. We've been hearing from you from Salt Lake City, Utah. Yes, as a single head of a very young family, I had to tap into CHIP and WIC. I was not prepared in any way to be the sole breadwinner for a tiny baby, a toddler, and one preschooler and one kindergartner. And from Philadelphia, when my daughter was born, we relied on CHIP. I don't know what we would have done without it.
Hi, this is Kate. I'm calling from the lovely Harrisonburg, Virginia. If my son hadn't received CHIP when he was younger for his severe asthma and allergies, he probably wouldn't be alive right now. The preventative care and the pediatric pulmonologist that we found have saved his life numerous times and have prevented actually more costs in the future.
We always want to hear from you. Do you have experience with CHIP? Call us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.